open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Starting quarterback, the Browns have named Robert Griffin III their starter. Matt and I had speculated over the weekend, especially Mr. Wilhelm, this would come today, and indeed it has. And here is what the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, had to say about it. And I quote, "It's time. Robert has earned the right to be named the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Since he was signed back in March, Robert has made it clear through his actions that he's willing to do everything that has been asked of him to earn this role. Throughout this process, he has gained the respect of his teammates, the coaching staff, and the entire organization that is necessary for him to lead our offense and really the entire team. Pep has done an outstanding job with that room to get us to this point so we can make this decision at what I feel is the optimal time, which enables us to best prepare for the regular season. It's now on Robert to show the organization and our fans that this is the right decision. Throughout the offseason program and training camp, Robert has shown improvement every day, and we expect him to continue to ascend as he becomes more and more acclimated to the offensive system we will employ this season. I've been crystal clear on what we expect from Robert. He fully understands responsibility, and I feel he is ready to handle that role." Now, RG3, we had said, has been with the first team basically the entire time in this process. As you know, Matt Wilhelm, I have charted, since I've been with the Browns, every single training camp throw of every quarterback, yards in the air, yards after the catch, everything, completion percentage, touchdowns, interceptions, was it with the right read, was it the right most open guy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. RG3, for my grades through thus far, has, and they're not just grades, they're facts, highest completion percentage, best touchdown interception ratio, most yards per attempt, most air yards per attempt. So he's not a check down Charlie. So his completion percentage and lack of interceptions, not because he's not throwing the football down the field. He has earned this job. He's been the best quarterback since he has been here. He has gotten better every day. I think that that's true. And I think the RG3 that you and I saw Friday night, the RG3 that you and I saw Saturday at the Orange and Brown scrimmage compared to the RG3 of OTAs, almost to me even looks like a different player. His balance is better in the pocket. His reads are better in the pocket. He's seeing the field. His accuracy has been improved. And he still showed those things that make him RG3 when he can take off and pick up 25 yards in the blink of an eye. So I think it's exciting. And, yes, I've been a guy that's been very excited about this team on the offensive side of the ball since camp has opened up. That's continuing to happen for me. But I think RG3, I saw some tweets today that said, all reports are that Josh McCown has been the better quarterback.
That is false.
I love Josh McCown. I love Josh McCown. That's just not true. RG3 has been the better quarterback. He's earned it. And I, for one, am happy that he's got this opportunity to be named the starter prior to a preseason game. There's no splitting of first team reps. And really, there hasn't been. I mean, but I think it was his job to lose all along.
I agree.
And he never gave Josh McCown an opportunity to take that from him. And in fact, I think as time went on, day by day, the gap widened and widened and widened to the point where I think it was obvious to everybody on the team, everybody that's been to training camp practices, that it was time to go with RG3, and that announcement was made today. And now for your first week of preparation for a game, you've got your starter, and now it's just full speed ahead.
Yeah, and I think it's a very deliberate and defined move by Hugh Jackson to take the time necessary that if there was, in fact, any type of competition for you, just as you pointed out, that Josh McCown could basically close on and headway, you know, on RG3 and turn it into a full-on competition, which I think would have worked against the Cleveland Browns as an offense and their ability to start the season fast with 5 of 7 on the road. So you get RG3. He has by far and away been the better quarterback. And I just love while in the past, there's always been things in limbo. The Cleveland Browns have lived in the gray area for a very long time, and with Hugh Jackson, through the efforts of the coaches and the mentality and the work ethic of the players, they are stepping up, rising to the occasion, and thriving in this system. And they saw it fit that at this point in time in training camp, that Robert Griffin III is only going, you know, trending upward in the right direction and not regressing in any facet of playing quarterback at a high level.
And let me say, before people are like, well, he's doing this and he's doing that and he's doing this and he's going to be, first of all, quite frankly, as you know, Browns fans, the bar at quarterback, when I say he's been the best since I've been charting it, not the highest in the National Football League, okay? Number two, he has put up good numbers, though. He's completed over 70% of his passes, yards per attempt north of 9 right now, which would be great. We got to see it in games. And does RG3 still have a long, long way to go? Absolutely. Am I saying he's a finished product? No. But in terms of being asked of everything that he's been asked to do, he's done. He's shown improvement. I think his time with Tom House was valuable. His mechanics, his footwork, his balance all seem to be better. I believe what we need to see from him again with live bullets flying, can he consistently process from the pocket? Can he make those right decisions? And if he can do that, I think he is going to have a surprisingly successful 2016 season and could, for the first time, I'm starting to think that this is a guy, and we have to play games, but maybe there is more than just a rent to RG3 here. Maybe there is more than just a stopgap to get another quarterback. Maybe RG3, former rookie of the year in the National Football League, who's only 26, could be that guy. This is step one. He still has many, many, many more steps to go through. He's got to stay healthy.
Sure.
He's got to make these good decisions from the pocket in regular season games and beyond. But I'm happy for him. And it's funny reading, and I'll talk about a Bucky Brooks article in a second, Matt, but one of the things that people, nobody doubts his ability, right? A lot of it's the buy-in, it's the ego. You and I have been here, and I've said before, and I still don't know, am I getting closer to feeling like I do believe that RG3 is going to have a pretty good season this year? I do. But it's the buy-in from, he's all bought in.
He is.
I don't know if there's anybody that's working harder. There's nobody that's here earlier or later than Robert Griffin III on this football team.
No,
day in, day out.
I agree, and I think that's a lot having to do with Hugh Jackson and what expectations he lays out for his players, specifically his quarterback, who he works hand-in-hand with each and every day. And as you said, there might be something more to RG3, and I don't want to get, you know, too far optimistic or Kool-Aid drinking, you know, on that end of things. But just imagine an RG3 stabilizing the quarterback position for the Cleveland Browns. You've drafted Cody Kessler this year. You've got Austin Davis already. Josh McCown, of course, playing his role. But next year, regardless of where we finish and where the Eagles finish, let's just say we have two top 15 picks. To not have to worry about, you know, taking another swing at the plate at some point in the first two rounds at the quarterback position, regardless of where, you know, the quarterback kind of shake out. But to add the players and to add the playmakers like we did in the first round this year with Corey Coleman, we stabilized, you know, the interior of our offense and defense with Danny Shelton, Cam Irving in 2015. And just to be able to go in and to add another playmaking wide receiver or a playmaking tight end or a pass rusher and just add more young talent that becomes the core of who we are, when I believe the Hugh Jackson era is going to be in its prime, which is the end of 17 and the 18 year is when the division can be ours, where we become the front runner because all of our talent, we've taken our bumps and bruises. The learning curve is over. We've got 30 of our 53 guys that were drafted, you know, and basically make up 75% of who we are between the 14 and 16 draft and 16 and even 17 drafts that make up who the Cleveland Browns are.
Absolutely. And it's going to be, look, the early returns are good, but again, we haven't seen a game yet, but if this draft class turns out to be successful, let's say you get out of 14, 8 to 10 guys that are contributors, okay? And next year you're going to have double-digit picks again, and you can do that again. As you talked about, you're starting to build the numbers. And to be honest, I know Ray Farmer gets a ton of criticism around here. Right now, when you're looking at the 22 guys that are going to make up the starting lineup of the Cleveland Browns, it looks like, or I'll call it 23, counting Crow and Duke as co-starters, his first six picks from a year ago will all be starters.
Yes, they will.
Danny Shelton, Cam Irving, Nate Orchard, Xavier Cooper, Duke Johnson, and, of course, Ibrahim Campbell.
Correct.
So that's six. Then you add 10. That's 16. You do another 8 to 10. That's 24. All of a sudden, half of your roster
correct
has been drafted in the last 3 years and are part of a core nucleus that you can build
right
upon. So that's what you're hoping to have happen here with the Cleveland Browns. But I'm excited for RG3. I told you, you know, on this show, when he's come in here, I've been impressed with him just as a guy. You can tell he's a guy that wants it, a guy that has been broken down. You went from 3 years' time, he went from being the NFL Rookie of the Year to playing on the scout team as a safety.
And being inactive on the most, I don't want to say most funnest, but on the funnest day, 16 opportunities that you have to get dressed to go out in front of 80,000 fans in your corner or 80,000 fans, you know, cheering for you to like roll over and die. He was voided that opportunity because of his performance, and he was in street clothes carrying a clipboard. You want to talk about a fall from grace? That is a fall from grace. barring essentially being released, which he was.
Yes. It, as big a fall as you could have at the most high-profile, spotlighted position in the game that you choose to play. So if he hadn't been humbled by that, I don't know that he ever would be. But I think he has been. I think the buy-in from him is there. And here's a I talked about that Bucky Brooks article. So Bucky Brooks called up a bunch of personnel people around the National Football League, said, can Hugh Jackson, quote-unquote, fix RG3 and reestablish him as a true franchise quarterback? And basically he talked to one NFC pro personnel director, AFC college scouting director, AFC player personnel director, another NFC pro personnel director, NFC defensive assistant, and another pro personnel guy from the NFC. And here's what he kind of summed up. I found it interesting that most of the people I chatted with believe Jackson can absolutely craft a plan to accentuate Griffin's strengths as a player. They expressed a tremendous amount of faith in Jackson's tactical skills and his ability to minimize a player's weaknesses through play calling. Here's Bucky Brooks continuing. I firmly believe Jackson can work wonders with most players based on his strong evaluation skills and creative scripts, but I still have doubts about Griffin's buy-in. The former Pro Bowler fancied himself a pocket passer. The tape doesn't validate that assessment. Now, he says, if RG3 adheres to the principles of his concepts and displays the patience to take the check down or underneath throw and the intermediate and deep routes are covered, he is more than capable of reviving his career as a starting quarterback. It's funny, being here, for me, the buy-in is the last thing I'm worried about with RG3. I'm worried about can he consistently process from the pocket in less than 2.5 seconds.
Right. And I think the reason, I mean, you are here every day. You've had the conversation with Robert, you know, and I think – that's what sometimes you have to take a national perspective, while valid in who it's coming from. They're not here in Berea. They may spend a day here, or they write an article like that based around what they've heard from other individuals or individuals who work directly with RG3 in a window of time that 2012 as a rookie through 2015 in Washington that was so up and down. It was night and day, you know, who he was as a person. And I think he's come to Cleveland. And remember, there was not a lot of teams, you know, hot on the path to sign RG3 when he became a free agent. It wasn't towards the beginning of free agency, so he wasn't sought out and a priority by many. But I think when Hugh Jackson took this job, saw it as an opportunity to become the 2016 swing at the plate, as opposed to drafting a guy extremely high, knowing that the Los Angeles Rams have moved up to number one, and we weren't in love with Carson Wentz.
No, and you're getting a guy who's as much of a project, but who's already shown, at least in the NFL, at a time he could do it. And that's why I was the advocate of that. Oh, and by the way, you've set yourself up with multiple first-round picks and still got Corey Coleman. And if Corey Coleman is as good as he appears to be right now, again, and we don't know if that's a comment on how good Corey Coleman is. I believe on part of it is. I don't know if it's a comment on the competition he's going against right now. Maybe part of it is as well. We'll see when he plays other people. And
Joe Haden.
Right. Or
who
Joe
was
Haden,
activated.
Who was activated today, the other big news out of Berea. To me, you know, that's a guy that you would have ultimately said, I would have been happy. If he's that good, you would have been happy drafting him in any of those spots.
Correct.
And he still picked up all these other assets along the way. So it's an exciting day in Berea. RG3 named the starting quarterback. Joe Haden off the physically unable to perform list. He will be at practice today. I don't expect to see him against Green Bay. Now, that's what Sashi Brown, for those of you who caught the orange and brown scrimmage live with us, Sashi Brown was talking about that he would expect it Haden back this week. Josh Gordon probably still a week away, it sounds like, before he makes his return to the field for the Cleveland Browns. 216-578-0850. Go ahead and call us up. We will go ahead and talk about all of these things related to the Browns. We're going to hear from RG3, Corey Coleman, and, of course, we are going to hear from Terrell Pryor, who was the star of the orange and brown scrimmage in his return to the Shoe. That's all coming up here today on CBD.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. It is a new day. Yes, it is. Don't you dare be sour, Matt Wilhelm. Feel the power. RG3 named the starter. Joe Hayden back at practice today. We'll go to the phone lines now. Dan on a cell.
Afternoon.
How are you?
Hey, guys. Got a couple of observations and then a comment for discussion, if that's all right.
Go ahead.
First observation, I got to give props to Matt Wilhelm. I was thinking back on this the day before the draft. He came out and said Corey Coleman was his pick at wide receiver. And at the time, I didn't kind of agree with that. But I've heard nothing negative about this guy from anybody. So way to go, Matt.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And what did you see in him, by the way, at that time?
It was just the explosiveness that he portrayed at Baylor and the ability to be a home run hitter by getting the football in his hands. And I think
– And you're plugged in, Matt Wilhelm.
I am plugged in. I know people who know people who know people.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, Gibbs, the man from Missouri. Are my ears deceiving me? Or did he not only pick up the Kool-Aid, look at the Kool-Aid, sniff the Kool-Aid, and actually take a sip on Friday?
He did take a sip on Friday. It's funny because – it's so easy for example me or Matt to get accused of being homers. Look, the fact of the matter is we do work for the Browns. I think if you listened to, as I've been battling with people on Twitter about, if you listened to the show in the second half of last season, I think the calls shills would be anything. Couldn't be farther from the truth. We are given the leeway to call it like we see it, but there
right.
is a certain something about what's happening in Berea right now
yeah.
with Hugh Jackson that
yeah,
cannot
baby.
Be denied by even the most pessimistic Tony Grossi, who is always very challenging when it comes to the Browns, on the Browns, wrote an article today about the Browns receivers that was overwhelmingly positive and
wow.
even joked in a subsequent tweet, like for the people who missed it, which I thought was actually very funny. He goes, before the RG3 announcement of him being a starting quarterback, the fact that I was like so positive today was the talk of Berea, which is like,
what a treat.
What a treat. What a, just a real treat. So it is what it is. There is something happening here. The players feel it. And I think that anybody who comes to camp feels it and you see it. And again, I'm not standing up here saying the Browns are going to the playoffs. But what I will say to you, and that I believe 1,000,000,000%, is that this team will score the football in 2016, and that at the end of the year, you will come away from this feeling positive about the direction of this
yes.
organization and about the building blocks that this team is beginning to assemble.
I agree, and I think that's all you can ask for. And I know that Browns fans have been asked time and time again to hit the reset button with a fresh regime and a new coach. To me, this one, because of the staff that was put together by Hugh Jackson, by the words coming out of Hugh Jackson's mouth and the expectations that he has, which are to win. And then for you and I, who get to spend a lot of time with the players, even on the air and off the air, just the positive buzz of these guys looking forward to coming to work, looking forward to make plays in these schemes. I've been around the football a long time. That's a really good thing, because some guys just feel like coming to play football is in fact coming to work. They're excited to do that. They wake up motivated on what's going to be next. Just imagine what it's like when the bullets are really flying and we're playing for something. If they're doing it now, they better do it 16 times, you know, between September and the new year.
Yes. Yes. Indeed. Let's go to Frank in Parma. Frank, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Slow down, Francis. You got RG3 leading the league in passing already. He hasn't played a game for the Browns yet.
Neither of us have the name Francis.
Nor did I say that.
Anthony,
in fact,
I haven't heard you.
In fact, before somebody like you calls up and say what you just said, we haven't seen him in a game. He's got a long way to go. He still has to prove that he can process from the pocket consistently, but he's done what he's been asked to do thus far. He's improved every day, and he's the best quarterback on our roster and has been the best guy we've seen.
I haven't heard you this excited since the Browns were 7-4, and you were calling for the benching of Brian Hoyer so Johnny Manziel would start.
Well, I was calling for the benching of a quarterback that was not contributing to victories as much as he was contributing – to fortunate being lucky, and then anybody who watched the Houston Texans against the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs last year understands that I was maybe ahead of my time.
Or he actually led the team to the playoffs. The point is, you need
it's
to temper a
little
bit. Also
incorrect. Three different guys won.
Name me one stat RG3 will be top 15 in the league in. Just one.
I don't know if he will be top 15 in the league, and I'm not even saying that he is. I know that the Browns are going to score points this year. I would bet he's going to be top 15 in the league at the end of the year in yards per attempt. That's a number that I bet he will be top 15 in the league in, yards per attempt. And he'll be top 15 in the league in quarterback rushing yards if he stays healthy. That I also feel pretty good.
Yeah, I do too. Francis?
I am not trying to go. So what do you want? What do you want? I even made a disclaimer that I was not saying that. I think a dream scenario, honestly, if you're a Cleveland Browns fan right now, and yes, we're getting excited, and yet the idea of Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman and Gary Barnage and Duke and Crow and Hawk and Hollywood, it's exciting. Don't get me wrong. It is exciting. For a firm time, for the first time, there is some excitement on the offensive side of the football. But there is a long way to go. And at the end of the day, if RG3 finishes this season as a top 16 to 20 quarterback in the National Football League, that is the best situation that we have been in, in a long, long time.
I agree. And I guess what I challenge those listening who, you know, may or may not be maybe tending to be on the pessimistic side, for you and I, naming a starting quarterback is exciting, okay?
Before a preseason game?
Before a preseason game.
Revolutionary.
Thank you. That's my point. And all we're doing is, because the one thing that we all can't have the Gibbs take, right? I got to wait and see it, okay? Because right now, the Cardinals and the Packers and the Seahawks and the Broncos and the Patriots are all shoe-ins to make the playoffs, and win their division, and potentially compete for the Vince Lombardi trophy, okay? And if we really wanted to be on that side of it and be pessimistic, and I know history plays a big part in it, but we could all say, well, I don't believe any of that. I just got to wait and see it, right? It's just a matter of perspective, okay? And if you are pro Browns and you are part of the Dog Pound and you are listening to our show, it's like our season is less than a month, is like a month away.
And if you can't be excited,
that's
honestly,
what I'm saying. And
right
that was
now,
my net. You took the words right out of my mouth.
When are you going to be excited? Go get excited. The world's right. Too full of too much unhappiness.
Correct.
There's like real world stuff out there that's unhappy. This is fun. And it is fun to see. Come out to training camp. Form your own opinions. Let's see what happens when they play games. Form your own opinions. I just think it's going to be fun. I really feel. And again, for Mr. RG3 is the great. I'm saying, what am I saying, Matt, that he's going to be the next Tom Brady? No, I'm not saying that. And I'm still a guy who thinks that this is a team that, you know, is probably going to be under 500, but you'll feel good about it. And that to me is all I'm looking for, constant improvement. And you're, again, you don't want to listen to me. Listen to this guy. He played in the league. He's won a Super Bowl in the National Football League. He knows what it's like to see a young team make progress and to see progress and to see coaching. And you've seen coaching, and I know you've seen, from even OTAs to now, a lot of guys improving, not only from a technical aspect, from the way they approach the game and the way they're performing.
And I don't remember whether it was either our, you know, live looking at the Orange and Brown scrimmage, or it was yesterday, you know, on the hour-long Dog Pound report, where I kind of brought up something that's kind of weighed on me when I watched the Cleveland Browns always play at 1 o'clock because they're never the second game on a Sunday and they're never primetime or Monday night, you know, because they just have not been successful enough recently for the NFL to schedule them that way. And I felt like forever, or at least watching over the last 3 years, that when I watch the Cleveland Browns predominantly lose football games at 1 o'clock, when the next games come on, or when I watch Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football, I look like I'm watching football in another league. And for the first time, based on what I see out at practice, and I know it's orange on brown or brown on white, and it's, you know, Browns against Browns, I see the competitive nature of football teams that I've always envied as now a Browns analyst and a Browns fan.
Yeah.
They're playing at a level, at a speed, with physicality that will be competitive. They will make the mistakes because they are young. They will make the mistakes because they're in the first year in these schemes. Those, over the course of the 16 games that we will play, will be whittled down to the point by the end of the year where you and I both say the product is going to be significantly better than it is the first 4 weeks of the season.
Indeed it has. And we'll get a couple more calls in, and then we are going to go ahead and hear from the new starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, Robert Griffin III. Let's start with A.B. in Strongsville. A.B.,
what's up, guys? This is AD.
AD, what's up, brother? Hey, AD, my man. What's going on?
Nothing much. I just called in because I was so excited to hear that finally, you know, it's official now. Robert Griffin is our starter. I had no doubt that he was going to be the starter because, as you said, that he has progressed from the time that he came in, and he's been humble. And, you know, he's putting his team ahead of him, which is the right mentality for a quarterback to be a leader. And I think the fact that if somehow, like the reports are saying, if Josh Gordon has his head straight, and if he and Corey Coleman are on each side, on the outside, and then you can imagine what's going on inside with Barnage or Duke Johnson or Hawk or Pryor. I mean, our weapons right now, our talent level is much upgraded right now. And number two, I think the coaches are trying to put our players in the best position to succeed, which I didn't see that, honestly, in the last few regimes. I think they were trying to do more with players that they didn't have, or they tried to do less with the players that they had. So we really didn't see the product on the field. And I think that's a big difference this year. So I'm all in. I'm pumped up, and let's ready to roll. And we're going to be in for the Browns' first season preseason game on Friday, guys.
Yeah, Take care. Let's go. AD, thanks for the call, brother. And, yeah, I think that the coaching – I think a lot of this, again, my belief – I see an upgraded talent. I see upgraded speed, all of that. My belief, no question, is it starts with Hugh Jackson and the trickle-down effect from his staff to these players.
Yes. And when I had an opportunity to just very quickly walk up to Hugh Jackson in the lunchroom and say, my favorite part about watching practice, and I've said this a bunch of times, is the amount of coaching that's going on the football field. It is entirely a different level. And if these guys grow up quickly and realize that it is their job and they are professionals, the result on the football field when it's game time will be significantly different. And Hugh Jackson's response to me, it gives us a chance. Being well coached will win us a football game this year. Corey Coleman and RG3 having a great game with Josh Gordon on the side will win us a football game. Our defense and their ability to put pressure on the quarterback consistently will win us a football game. Being well coached will get us to the landmark that I point out time and time again, that 5 minute mark in the fourth quarter. And we may not in 2016 have enough bullets or playmakers, is what I call bullets, in the gun to finish it, but to get to that point. That means we've played three quarters of competitive football and say we're tired, we don't make one play, we don't make the right call, whatever it is. But to get to that point, being well coached, we will overcome that hill more than we'll lose during this season.
That's right. And all you Francis's out there can take that to the bank. Last call here before we hear from Robert Griffin III. Michael in Akron. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. My confirmation name is Francis. Does that count?
Yes.
All right. Hey, you guys are preaching to the choir with me. I love Coach Hugh and the entire coaching staff. I'm a long, long time Browns fan, and I have not felt in my gut that we've had the right coach in place since coming back. What I know about coaches in my Cleveland Browns history that I've been a Browns fan is Marty Schottenheimer was a teacher, and his entire staff were teachers, and players would run through a wall for them because they really bought into what Marty and his staff was saying. And I have that gut feeling about this group where Hugh has put the right people in place to not only teach, but they relate to these players, and the players believe it. And I believe the buy-in's coming this year.
Again, I'll say this to everybody, because not everybody gets to be in the building in Berea. Not everybody gets to talk to the players or be there every day or come to camp every day, et cetera. Watch All or Nothing on Amazon Prime. It's about the Arizona Cardinals, and that's a team that not only has the coaching, it's got the talent, it's got the quarterback. They're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. But what I mean from that is when you watch that show, all eight episodes in all of their glory, and I think it's as good a football show. If you're a football fan and you haven't watched it, you're doing yourself a disservice. That would be like Mo Pedman walking away from a free all-you-can-eat buffet. He would be doing himself a disservice. And that's not happening. So watch this show, and what you'll come away from it is that the tone and culture set by Bruce Arians is going to ensure that that team, while he is there, will be competitive and do things the right way and get the best out of the talent that they're provided. That's what I am feeling here from Hugh Jackson. That's what I'm feeling from the players who talk about Hugh Jackson. And to me, that is one of the more exciting things. So check that out. And I think you'll kind of understand a little bit more why we're excited here. And also, I just think we're going to score the football. If you went back in time to 1995 and watched Nathan Zagura play a little high school hoops, you might have been able to tell at that point, I would tilt more towards the offensive side of things rather than the defensive side of things. It was as if the court was like this when I was going to offense and like this uphill when I was going to defense. Nonetheless, I get excited about offense. I think our offense is going to be pretty fun to watch. All right. When we come back, let's hear from the man named the starting quarterback, the man who earned the title of starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns before a preseason game. It really is a new day. It's the Hugh World Order. Robert Griffin III, the Browns starting quarterback, next.
High School Hysteria on ESPN 850 WKNR. Season starts August 26th.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Schur, Matt Wilhelm. Let's go to the podium now and hear from the newly named starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, Robert Griffin III.
No, I mean, there's no sense of relief. You come out every day for an opportunity. You know, I'm thankful to Coach that he believes in me. Thankful to my teammates that they believe in me. And, you know, you just get ready for today's practice, go out and get ready for Green Bay.
How and when did you find out?
We found out this morning. Coach just brought us into a meeting and told us the news.
Do you see any positives in having this done sooner than later?
I mean, it's like I said, it's always up to Coach and what he wants to decide. I know all the other quarterbacks have done a lot to help me get to this point, and we got a great room, so I'm real appreciative of those guys too.
Robert, can you talk about the emotion and all the things that you must be feeling about taking over this role as the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns?
You know, like I said, it's an honor. It's an honor to be 1 of 32 in this league. So. You take that, you respect that, and you continue to go out and work and try to get better.
Robert, did you ever doubt that you would get to this point after the last 3 years there in Washington?
You should never doubt. There's a quote out there, and it says, if you don't believe, who will? So I'm thankful for my teammates and coach, Coach Jackson, Sashi, and all these guys for believing in me as a player and giving me an opportunity.
One of the comments Hugh Jackson made in the statement press about it was, and now it's on Robert to show we made the right decision. Do you agree with that, or do you feel you're still, every day is a day to prove?
No, every day. You come out here, you work hard, you try to execute the offense to the best of your ability. So, you know, it's an everyday thing. There's never a day off. There's never a sense of relief. You constantly got to be working to get better.
What do you think you showed Hugh for him to trust you enough to hand you that job?
I don't know. You got to ask Coach. You really do. So I just try to come out here and do the best I can and lead the guys the best that I can. And that's all I can do.
Does what you've been through the last couple of years make you appreciate, you know, the opportunity that's in front of you? Do you understand it a little better too, do you think?
Yeah. You know, everything that you go through in life is it's a lesson. and it's up to you to decide to use that lesson in a positive or negative way. And, like I said, since I got here, I've been real thankful for just the opportunity, because they don't come around that often, and when you get one, you got to seize it.
Q has talked a lot about creating the an environment to make his quarterback successful, without even mentioning your name. But can you talk about that? Like, has he done that more than any coach you've had, or is it similar to what Shanahan did your rookie year? He seems to be doing things that help you succeed rather than just coaching.
Yeah, I think Coach has done, you know, a great job not just helping the quarterback succeed, but putting us in positions, offensive line-wise, backs, wide receivers, giving guys an opportunity to make plays. And that's all you want as an offensive guy, is an opportunity to make a play, and it's our job to go out and execute. So he's done a good job of putting us in those positions, and guys have done a great job out here in training camp of making plays for him.
Robert, what are you looking for Friday night? This is out of the way now, and, you know, the offense – it seemed to be clicking here in the scrimmages we saw. But what are you looking for against an actual opponent? What's the goal, the main objective?
No, it's to go out and execute. That's always the goal. Anytime you strap it up, you want to go win a game. So regardless of how long we play or whatnot, that's up to coach. And when we're in there, we'll be ready to go.
Did you always believe that you would get another opportunity, even when things seemed at its bleakest in Washington?
I think when you're going through tough times or going over hurdles in life, you always have to realize that those who don't give up are the ones that end up winning in the end. So as long as you don't give up and you keep working, you'll get another opportunity. But you have to live each day as if it's your last. So just try to get better at what you can and control what you can, and pray that God takes care of the rest.
What kept you from giving up?
Just the belief in the guy upstairs, knowing that as long as I do my job, he'll always come through for you. So I'm just real thankful.
What have you improved
thankful
on
for the opportunity.
What have you improved on most since you got here?
I don't know. You got to ask Coach that question.
It was kind of a bold move for Hugh Jackson to bring you to the Browns. That's his first quarterback. And then ignore quarterback with the first pick of the draft that they had. Did you feel in any way a responsibility to make him, not only to reclaim your career, but to reward his faith in you?
Coach, he gave me an opportunity to come to Cleveland to help do what he plans to do here, and has turned this thing around and make it a consistent winner. And I think all the guys that he kept on the roster, all 90 guys, are excited about that opportunity, because there's a lot of guys that aren't playing football right now. And the guys that are here, we're focused on what Coach has in mind, and it's what we all want. We all want to be winners, and that's what we're working for.
We've heard so much about the meeting that you and Hugh had during the recruitment phase before you officially signed here. From your perspective, could you kind of take us through what you told Hugh, or the impression that you made upon him that obviously gave him the drive to get you in here and really commit to developing you?
Yeah, I can't give you what the impression I gave him. You know, all I can say is I was honest about everything that I had been through and told him the lessons that I had learned. And then, you know, did a workout. So that's all you can do. Learn from your mistakes, learn from what's happened to you, and then grow from that.
What's the biggest lesson you learned?
Two more?
Yeah. I don't need to say that.
Robin, now that you're in this place at this stage, this preseason, what do you think is within your reach this year?
It's not about what's within my reach. It's about this team. And I think this guy's the limit. You never want to put a limit on what you want to do. Everybody believes they're going to go 16-0 right now. And it's about who's going to go out and make that happen and win the most games and win when it's winning time. So that's all we're focused on.
Robert, it seems like every one of your teammates that we talk to are really excited about you really buying in and on board. Throughout this process, is that one of the most gratifying things to you, that your teammates are really rallying around you?
I think that's what you always want. You want to come out and show your teammates that they can trust you, that you're going to get the job done, you're going to put them in the right positions to be successful and get them the ball. So it's just been really enjoyable to come to a new city with a new coach on a new team and have an opportunity to just go out and play the game of football the way you love and do it with great people.
That's Robert Griffin III, your starting quarterback today. Excited, but knows really, honestly, it's good to be named starter, but now the work really begins.
Yeah, and so, I mean, so much of it is, you know, Robert has to go back and engage in the process that it was to be a starting quarterback. And when you are the backup, you kind of like shrug your shoulders down. You know, you can let out that sigh of relief. But in Robert's case, he's going to be held to the fire. And the fact that we have an offensive head coach who's going to spend a majority of his time standing side by side, arm in arm, you know, with your starting quarterback. So, and we all know the makeup of Hugh Jackson. And so Robert Griffin III is going to have to be accountable every single day he walks in this building.
Speaking of RG3, we know last Friday night was hooking up with Corey Coleman for the deep bombs, getting the crowd on their feet. Corey Coleman saying he felt fatigue in his hamstring after Friday. It's nothing serious. He'll play it by ear for the preseason opener in Green Bay. So not a lot of concern there. And I know from talking to people here, there is no concern, but they're just going to be smart with it because the guy is incredibly talented. And he was out there. He didn't play in any of the team portions, but was fielding punts and running routes on Saturday at the shoot. So not a big deal there. He also said, and I think this is interesting, he's talked recently with Steve Smith, a wide receiver after whom he models his game. And I can tell you multiple players and multiple veteran players who have played with or against Steve Smith in his heyday have told me that that is the guy that Corey Coleman most reminds them of. And if anything, I said he might even be a little bit bigger and a little more explosive.
I'll take that.
I would take 80% of that being correct and be incredibly happy. Incredibly happy. All right, when we come back, Hall of Fame game didn't happen, but the Hall of Fame induction ceremony did happen in Ken. We've got some sound bites from Brett Favre, Eddie DeBartolo, Orlando Pace, and Tony Dungy. We'll play those for you. You can go ahead and call us up, 216-578-0850. And, of course, we're here at 2 o'clock. Joe Hayden earlier today on his return to the field. Terrell Pryor as well. And I got to share this tweet we just got right here. Buckeye guy 36, can't make this up, so I'm not going to try. This is just a real tweet. He says, and I quote Matt Wilhelm and Mo Pedman, who is gracing us. Coleman and TP were on fire Friday and Saturday like Mo Pedman's inner thighs after a brisk walk through the buffet line.
Jesus.
That just happened.
That is hot.
Makes me want to go like this. Do, 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 do. My Mo Pedman. Do, 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 do. We'll be back with more CBD right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I've been counting all my steps. All my nose just turned to yes. Silently, I must confess my troubled history. This washed away all my sins. Starting over.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. There's always some funny stuff coming out of the Olympics right now. We just watched some of the worst dives. Like, I think Mo Pedman would beat those dives.
Did you see the female gymnast from Great Britain that landed on her head?
No, is she okay?
I mean, she was like shook up. She essentially carried on with her floor exercise. Then eventually got to the point where she was going to do another tumble, and she didn't want to put herself in jeopardy again because she was like, you know,
not
her neck.
Okay.
So she stepped off, but then came back in and did the whatever their next event was. But
I feel bad. I mean, these people worked their whole lives for this one moment. It's tough. Those were tough. All right. We told you we had some sound for you from the Hall of Fame. And again, Hall of Fame game doesn't play. Somebody's head's rolling for this, right?
Yes.
I mean, am I wrong?
Like,
how does this happen?
Here's a matter of perspective, okay? Everyone who was essentially penciled in as a starter on either team is happy they didn't play a game because you're playing five preseason games. Aaron Rodgers is happy that they're not playing this preseason game. The bottom, say there's about 45 guys that make up the 90-man roster that are upset that they're not going to play this game because this is one other live opportunity for them to earn the trust of the coaches and the favor of management that they played well in a game setting. So it works against some of those guys who had an opportunity to make this football team.
It does, and those guys get, you know, they still get four preseason games. Let's not cry in a river, and I'm sure they're all pretty happy that they're only playing four preseason games. The guys that aren't are probably guys 48 through 92 on the roster.
Right. I said 45. 45 yeah. to 90.
That's it.
Correct.
The other half are like, sweet.
Yeah. They're like, cool. Sign autographs. Peace out.
Sweet.
All right. But yeah, the whole Hall of Fame thing, I think, was great. But that is to use the wrong paint and have it. I mean, I think the president of the Hall of Fame came out and said $4 million will be lost, or that's what they cost them.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, like, they only host one nationally televised NFL game a year.
And I think they had –
in that stadium.
I want to say it was a country singer. It was either Tim McGraw or Garth Brooks had a concert there on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And then so it went from concert on Tim McGraw on Friday, then it was the enshrinement on Saturday and the game on Sunday. So their facilities manager might be unemployed right now.
I think it's not the people they say, not a good look. Not a good look. All right, we're going to hear from the Hall of Fame, though, because I thought there were some good speeches yesterday. Brett Favre, and this is really the one that I want to play, and then we'll get to Joe Hayden at the top of the hour. But this is the one that I'm very, very excited about. Brett Favre telling a story about his dad that to this point was untold.
And I overheard my father talking to the three other coaches, and he said, I can assure you one thing about my son. He will play better. He will redeem himself. I know my son. He has it in him. And I never let him know that I heard that. And I want you to know, Dad, I spent the rest of my career trying to redeem myself. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get through it. But I spent the rest of my career trying to redeem myself and make him proud. I hope I succeeded.
Some serious emotion on display there from Brett Favre. I thought he did a great job. You know who else I thought had a really good speech? Was Kevin Green.
Yes.
I thought he's got the gift of gab and really moved him. And I thought that he did a tremendous job. But a great Hall of Fame class always. And then since I grew up in the Bay Area, we'll listen to this one too. Eddie DeBartolo on his memory of the catch.
I wanted to be on the field with the guys. So I went through the tunnel and out of the dugout. I was just trying to see what was happening, but I was behind the biggest horse that you could ever imagine, with a police officer on him about 12 feet above me. Then I heard the screams of the crowd and looked up to the officer. He put his thumb up and winked and said, Clark, touchdown. That's how I found out. At our moment of glory, I was literally blocked by a horse's ass.
Yes, that's a good one. I have a picture of that signed by Dwight Clark in my basement. The catch.
Congrats.
I was 3 years old, I think. Maybe not even. Anyway, can't wait till we have some of those here in Cleveland with the Browns. When we come back, a guy that I believe feels like he has a lot to prove, and a guy who I think can go a long way to help shoring up the back end of this defense in 2016. Joe Hayden, taking off the pup today. We'll hear from him about his eagerness to get on the field and his goals for 2016. Plus, he has some good comments on RG3, the leader, and what he's seen from the Browns starting quarterback. That's when we return. Hour number two of CBD kicks off with Joe Hayden right after this.